Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is April from All for HR and Business Solutions. I'm so glad to have everyone joining us. This is with All for HR and Business Solutions. Again, I'm April Halliburton, founder and CEO of All for HR and Business Solutions. What my company does briefly is we manage small and mid-sized businesses from 2 to 100 employees. We offer the best services, unique services that are made unique to each and every one of our clients. And so this is our first impromptu radio show, and we are focused on helping HR or employers strategically grow their companies, engage their employees, and improve their workplace so that employees are happy to come to work. Sounds like a cliche, but no, it is definitely what we practice and what we preach here at All for HR and Business Solutions. And so on our first impromptu radio show, having all of you aboard, feel free to join us or visit our website. Our virtual home is All for HR and Business, allforhr.net. You can reach me on Twitter. So you can follow me at on Twitter, All for HR. Hashtag W/all4HRbiz. And so our focus this month at All for HR and Business Solutions is, as always, to make sure our clients and all HR professionals are equipped with the best tools to make their company a success. Successful working environment, so that employees are able to as well as employers are able to work in a workplace where they're happy to go. And as you know, employees spend half of their lifetime almost in the workplace, and so you want to be able to contribute, be appreciated in your workplace, and employee engagement is the perfect way to get this accomplished. This month, All for HR and Business Solutions, our focus is on progressive discipline. And so I welcome to you. I have the All for HR, our Twitter. Twitter is open, so you can feel free to call with questions if you like. If you want to call in and listen, the number is 914-205-5306. Follow me, All for HR, hashtag W/ALL4HRbiz. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about progressive discipline. What we do here is we get right down to it. We don't sugarcoat it. We want it so that it is as easy for our for employees and employers to understand. And so what we have is what the three key reasons that employee discipline is important, and it is not something that employers or employees should shy away from. Initially, in most instances, a warning for an employee is enable corrective behavior, and that's how it is most of the time. 80% of the times, or even more, higher, that's exactly what it is. Sometimes it's just simply letting an employee know that this is not the correct behavior, or this is the incorrect way to perform your job. And a lot of times you just want to let them know It becomes really simple, and it doesn't even command you even going back for any other corrective action. The progressive discipline goes hand in hand with employee engagement. You'll hear me talk about employee engagement a lot because employee engagement ties into everything, every aspect of your business, from upper management all the way across the board. You'll find that when your leaders in your organization practice employee engagement and then practice it in healthily and wholeheartedly, you as an employer see a lot of employees starting to really fall into place. It builds your workplace culture, and it just makes everyone on both sides come together hand in hand because employees are there for a job, but not just for a job. Each employee has something to give. They have a unique personality. They have unique skills. And when these employees are enhanced and enabled, they're giving the correct tools in your organization, you'll be so surprised at how your company will soar. As most of you know, corrective discipline is not hard. There are not a lot of different ways. The more common way for or manners in which corrective discipline is, when it starts with if there's a corrective behavior that needs correcting, it will start with a verbal warning, a written warning. Or step two and step three will be suspension, and then step four will be a termination. And then in most cases, it does not even get to that. Again, when you speak to employees for the first time, a lot of times that corrects the action and, everything is fine. In instances where it goes to a second step, which is a written warning, a lot of times that's the end of what that corrects that behavior. And some employers even will repeat some steps if it is the action is one that does not mandate immediate termination or suspension. There are such scenarios where you'll look and you'll see that you can maybe do a second verbal warning, and that will cease the behavior that needs to be corrected, or a second warning. And a lot of times that can happen in situations where the employee is working with, is perhaps doing a new job that is a little more little difficult, and so they may be making some, to be corrected. And so you may have to do maybe corrective action, just get the employee where they're understanding the job and they're doing it effectively and comfortably. And again, a lot of times that's the end of it. The employee goes forward, they're doing a great job, the employee is yielding the behavior that they need to effectively work with the employee, and all is well in the world, if you will. These are things that you have to keep in place as an employee. You have to keep in mind that although it may be uncomfortable, but it is a way to ensure workplace compliance. It is a way to cover yourself as an employee and a way for employees to cover themselves. So it works both ways. So it's not something to be afraid of. You may think it's maybe a little uncomfortable, but in the end, it works. Because unfortunately, there are situations where the employee has to, and it may lead to an investigation or, unfortunately, litigation. And that goes on both sides. So you find with a lot of businesses, they go, oh, well, I just said something to them, and I'm not going to say anything else about it. And then the behavior goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And then they're not documenting. I am advocate about, you know, document, and then document some more. And so it's crucial in your workplace, in building a workplace culture. Sometimes you're building a new workplace culture. Sometimes you're repairing or rebuilding a workplace culture. And so it is imperative that as an employee, as an HR professional, that you are doing these things consistently across the board. Okay. And so there are some things that you keep in mind is when you are as a supervisor or, you know, or a business owner and or when it gets to where corrective action is needed and you want to perhaps put a performance improvement plan together, there's a way to do that as well. And some things to keep in mind, and when you're putting a performance improvement plan together is that you have to make sure as an employer, that you are conversing to this employee that the can be brought up to an acceptable level. And then whatever assistance is needed on the end of the employer has to be provided. So if an employee is perhaps not doing the job well, and you know there's something that employee needs, maybe they're in a position with a machine that is they're too short for, they're too tall for, they need to sit down for, or you know perhaps that position is not the position for that person. So these are things that you have to keep in mind. Once the employee is talked to and you have provided whatever is needed, whatever tools, whatever information, whether it's further training, that then you have to schedule a follow-up session and let them know, the employee know, when this session is going to occur. So that not to make them nervous, but just so that they know that, you know, they need to improve on this part, and they will improve on the other end. And then you have the date by which the improvement is expected, because that's when that next session will occur, so that you are talking to the employee, you're finding out how's it working in this position, are you still having some challenges. What can we do to make this employee-employee relationship work, to make your job easier? You also have to let them know the consequences of failing to improve by that specified date. The supervisor's confidence in the employee's ability to reach that acceptable level is a must. So you let them know that, you know, let us know what you need, and I have confidence that you can do this and we can make this work. Okay. Those are essentially the elements that will help the employee rise to the level of professionalism and the level of productivity and effectiveness that they'll need in that position to effectively get the job done. So once again, you're making sure that the employee has exactly what they need. You're asking them what do they need to come up to the acceptable level. The employee is number one. second, make sure whatever the employee needs to improve their productivity level or their job effectiveness, their job tasks, their duties, that you have availed that to them. You've given it to them. And let them know, when we're going to follow up on a session and when is for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe 30 days, maybe 60 days. You know, it depends on how complex maybe the problem is that the employee may be having, the consequences of failing to improve on the side date. And also be sure to let them know that, you know, you have the confidence in them to get the job to improve on that their productivity or their work product. You have faith in them. So now some of the when you say providing or tools for your employees, that a lot of times you want to make sure they have these things such as training, coaching with buddy systems. I always tell clients when you do your onboarding, very important that you link that new hire with a buddy system, with someone that knows the job, not just someone who is maybe have a nice personality. There's nothing wrong with having a nice personality, but someone that knows the job that the new hire is taking on, so they're well equipped with what they have. Make sure that they're provided with observation. They're able to give feedback that you from them. Make sure they have resources, helplines, and experts that are available to help, you know, to give them answer questions and give them whatever they need so they don't feel like there's no one they can go to. If there are checklists or rules, make sure they have those. These are in your job description. And then checklists and rules or codes of conduct and things of that nature that already should be laid out in your employee handbook. You want to make sure they have a little closer supervision. Okay, and so whoever that department manager is not to be like a hawk, not to be hovering over, but just to make sure that they feel comfortable and the new hire has what they need and the new hire is ready to work and, you know, let them know, hey, can I get some help doing this, or I don't fully understand this task, and so can you help me? So that goes with the buddy system as well as the supervisor in the department for that new hire. And you also want to make sure counseling and employee assistance programs are readily available to all of your employees, not just new hires, but to all of your employees. If you see a problem that needs to be addressed, whether you may see an employee who may be suffering from a bit of depression, you may know of something in that person in their life that may be making things a little hard for them, a little difficult for them, perhaps they're all of a sudden they're being late all the time and you're just seeing them looking distressful. You know, you want to make sure employee assistance programs are available to them. Reading and audio visual materials, that's with regard to training. Manuals for their job position should be readily available. All of these things are a lot of times if they are given to the employee at the time of onboarding, they already have them at ever. You always can reshare them or redirect them to the materials that they have in their handbook, whether they may need to retrain on certain things. If you have retraining, you know, you may want to have their buddy system, the buddy person that is working with them, go over again with what needs to be done in certain areas that the employee seems to be having trouble with. During the time of the performance improvement plan, the time of scheduling those follow-up sessions, of course, varies. And that again, I said that depending on what the level of complexity is. It may just be, you know, some things that an employee is not doing correctly, and there are just certain tasks that are, you know, maybe not record keeping things a certain way or correctly, or, you know, just some dropping some areas in their duties and tasks for their position, you know. So you may say, okay, you know, in 30 days we can revisit this, and I'm sure it'll be fine. It may be relearning a position all over again. So you may need a little bit more time. So you want to be fair in the time that you give the employee to make improvement, and make sure that you stick to that time. You know, stick to them, so maybe they may need a longer time to work on improvement methods, but you want to be fair. Plan should never go more than 180 days. Okay. 180 days is quite long enough to learn anything over. And if a person is still having problems, then you may need to put that person on another position, or there may be some other issues that need to be addressed that maybe you need to do the employee assistance program with. You know, there are a lot of variables to take into account. But what's most important is that you are consistent across the board with the manner in which you're implementing and you're implementing and performing your progressive discipline policies in your company, because, you know, it again protects everyone. If there are certain behaviors that are affecting other employees, you want to make sure you're working sooner than later. You don't want to do the sticking head in the sand, if you know what I mean. You want to address it head on as soon as possible, so that everyone is, you know, able to work and work effectively. And again, we can achieve the best workplace possible. Make sure the employee is, again, aware of the consequences if you're failing to meet the acceptable levels of performance by the end of the performance improvement plan. If the employee that is in the PIP plan or on the plan has improved before the time that that, you know, if it was 30 days and maybe in a week later you look and say that the level is much better, then it's fine to, you know, stop the plan right there and make sure you note in your plan that this person improved their actions well, you know, before, and that, you know, and encourage them and provide great feedback to the employees so that they, you know, they know that they have improved in this position, and the company and, you know, it's, you and the company and the employee are, you know, going forward together. And it just makes everything better across the board, because then not only you're exactly exhibiting behavior that all other employees are making a note of. When you're putting the performance improvement plan in place, be sure to elicit any input from the employee, whether they are, you know, what are they needing, what do they perhaps think that the company can do to help make the improvement. You want to go meet them halfway. You don't want to take on the attitude that the micromanaging, harsh attitude towards the employee, that right there is not going to work. It's totally false. Out of the realm of anything that I'm explaining or that's in the progress. If an employee is having problems, let them explain to you what they believe can be done, how they can do this, they can do A if you do B, or vice versa, so that you're looking to improve this. The objective is to improve the employee's behavior or performance so that everyone is happy and everything works out well. It's not to punish. It's for corrective and for improvement. So keep that definitely in mind. Again, the call-in number, if you want to call in, is 914-203-5306. Feel free to follow me at OfferHR at Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, OfferHR.biz, or OfferHR and Business Solutions. You hear me typing there, right? Give me a minute here. Got a little bit more to go. I hope you all are enjoying the show. If you missed the show, you can tune in to the show because it'll be recorded. I hope I'm recording it. I just put the URL number on there, so you can just click in. And again, this is my very first radio show. And so I welcome you to tweet your questions, hashtag W/ALL4HRBiz. Visit our page on Facebook, OfferHR Business Solutions. That's all. Ampersand number four dash HR and ampersand sign Business Solutions. Call in with questions. Again, the number is 914-203, and we want you to call in and ask us some questions there. About progressive discipline, August the 29th at 12:30, we have a free webinar. It is again on corrective discipline, and if you tweet me the word freebie or email me, just hashtag it freebie. OfferHR is giving away a free gift. To those that either email me at all4hr@all4hr.net for your free gift. This month is April showers, and so what we're doing is we are showering everyone that emails me with the word freebie or April showers, and you'll get a gift from OfferHR and Business Solutions. Again, feel free to visit our virtual home, OfferHR.net. And so when you're during the in the PIP, progressive or progressive performance improvement plan, thinking of progressive, but performance improvement plan, be sure to give great feedback. Let your employee that has, you know, been issued them corrective action, you know, let them know that you have confidence in them approving improving the performance and being very successful in it. So we're still waiting on some calls to come in. The number is 914-205-5306. So we want you to call in and ask your question. Some tips to give you, I think, yeah, a lot of these things that I am mentioning to you or sharing with you are things that you are, you know, I'm sure. If you're not sure, always feel free to drop me an email if you have questions at all4hr@all4hr.net, and I'm always happy to answer questions. When you do your have to make sure or even to avoid as many instances that call for corrective action or corrective discipline policies to be used, it's important that you make sure the policy, your written policy, is in your policy, in your make sure you have a written policy in your handbook that is updated. It's actually what I, you know, strongly suggest is that when you do your onboarding process, you make sure that the employee has a employee handbook and that you receive the written acknowledgement that is at the back of your handbook. If you don't have a handbook, email me. I'll get you one free. Okay. But that the new hire has read and signed a statement that they have read, understand, and will comply with the policies and procedures and understand the disciplinary policies for failure to comply. So you have to make sure that those are in place so that you are able to protect yourself. The word discipline should not be taken lightly, should not be used lightly in the workplace, should not be used lightly at all. You should make sure that your policy has a clear definition of what discipline is. There are different ways some companies use the word. For instance, one company may define discipline as an action that is recorded in an employee's personnel file. That's actually the most common way to define discipline. And then it goes on to say, you know, another company may include verbal reprimand by a supervisor in its definition. By defining the word discipline in your policy, what it does is it takes the guesswork totally out of the process for your employees. The goal here is to make sure that discipline is the objection, is the objective, and in compliance with the stated policy, and it's carried out effectively and efficiently. Okay. So make sure that the word defined is outlined in your in your policy. Again, as I've already said, and I can't say this enough, discipline is not about punishment. Discipline is about performance. It's a proven performance. It's not about punishment at all. The goal is not to punish your employee, but to improve the employee's behavior or actions. Discipline is imposed and is used for to be progressive. And that is beginning with the minimum disciplinary necessary, which is a verbal warning, to the maximum, which is termination. Your consequences should be reasonably consistent with those imposed on employees for similar offenses. So again, you have to be consistent. If one employee does a behavior or an action that warrants a corrective action, whether it's a warning or a written warning or a verbal warning or suspension, and another employee does the same thing, you have to carry it across the board with everyone. You have to also make sure that your managers are carrying out, are trained in your progressive discipline policy and administering it effectively with all of your managers. If you have managers in different departments, then each one of them needs to be trained during the progressive discipline policies or in corrective action. Again, the type of corrective action that is done depends on the magnitude of the offense. And when you are drink a little water there. But when you administer or address an employee regarding corrective discipline policies and administering them, you want to make sure that you have visually seen the performance problem, not going by what if someone says. You want to make sure that you see firsthand what has happened. And it's very important also that you utilize performance appraisals, because that also gives a paper trail for you as well as the employees as to whether their performance is declining or increasing. And you want to be aware of that. You want to make sure that before you implement a corrective action, that again you have seen it and it is quantifiable for a corrective action. You want to analyze causes of the problem. Okay, make sure you know what the problem is. Does the person have the skills or the capabilities that the company expects? Has the person been formally trained in that problem area? They may be good at one aspect of the job, but not another, and so they may need some retraining. Again, this is where your buddy system comes in. I encourage clients that whenever you change a position, whether it's a new hire position, or whether it's an employee changing positions, you still want to make sure they have a buddy system. Whether they've been there 10 years, you change them to another position, you want to still have some kind of support for them whether it's a new hire or whether it's someone that is already seasoned in the company, you still never know when someone may need some area of assistance or retraining. Again, we have 18 minutes left. We still have time for you to call in at 914-205-5306 for your questions. And you can still follow us. Make sure you have questions. You can call in or you can ask questions on Twitter, #W/ALL4HRBiz. And again, in analyzing the problems, you want to have the person have adequate practice or orientation. Make sure all new hires have a orientation when they start. A thorough orientation, please. I don't care how small your organization is. Make sure my kids are always on my mind. Make sure your new hires are trained. They are the received employee handbook. They have a buddy system, and that they have all of the tools they need. That is one of the biggest problems. And it warrants more employees, new hires, leaving their positions, new positions, within 60 days. It's lack of training and buddy system. And so that's something that, again, goes hand in hand with employee engagement. If you want your employees to be engaged, you have to make sure they have what they need to give their best effort towards doing a great job in the organization. Have other employees in similar skills been able to meet expectations? Otherwise, in other words, have other employees had experienced problems in that same position, in that same area? Perhaps it's something that the company needs to look at instead of just pulling employees off in this position. It may be a position that requires two people to do this job. And so you want to be, again, you want to make sure that they have what they need. Is the performance deficiency within the person's control, again, adequate? Does that mean they have the equipment, the tools that they need to perform that job to the best of their ability? Has management clearly communicated expectations? This goes hand in hand with your job description. You want to make sure each and every task and duty that is included in a position is outlined in a job description so that when you hire individuals or when you change positions, you may put another person in that position, they're not doing things or doing tasks and duties that they knew totally nothing about until someone just told them to do it. They want to know what they're doing for the job. And that's the best way to make sure they're ready and they know what the company expects from them. They know what the company expects from them, which is an effective job, and they know you expect you. They know what you expect of them, and you know what they expect of you. And you know, communication is key to make it to employee engagement, to a great workforce culture. All of these things tie into that well-run, a well-operated machine we call a company. Are there personal problems affecting the employee's performance? Answer these questions, and it will help determine exactly what the employee's performance problems are. And how the company and the employee can make an effective corrective action plan be successful. Some things I want to real quickly before we wrap up here. some companies use a third-party entity to perform an employee investigation. And so the employer has to understand that, the state, the federal laws and regulations behind the background check. So in that instance, that has to be in line with the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And that act, it protects existing employees by requiring employers to follow certain steps, including obtaining the individual's written time consent and obtaining a consumer report. These things are done in the new hire process. Some things that you should keep in mind is several factors come into play determining the appropriate disciplinary action. We all know that there are four stages which are common in the progressive discipline process. And the one is the verbal warning. The second step is the written warning. And then the third step is suspension. And then the fourth is termination. And so there are some instances that will need, they lead to an immediate, just straight to step four. And those are actions that, usually result in behaviors such as sexual harassment or instances in that will, where at an employee's actions can cause, is a safety hazard. A lot of times those are just, they go straight to, or theft. Is another one that a lot of times that just results in immediate termination. And so in all instances, the employers have to carefully weigh the number of things that are determining the severity of the disciplinary consequence. So it's, again, nature and severity of the offense, whether it is just incorrectly doing a task in a job, or whether someone's arm has been broken because someone failed to follow the instructions that they've been told, has to be done this way. One extreme is where you can maybe alter the type of action that's done, or the duty or the task. When it has to do with safety, there's no alteration. It's just, this is the way it has to be done, and especially when there are safety issues that come into play. You also should consider the employee's previous discipline record, whether this person has been disciplined for this action or this behavior before, and the employee's potential for improvement. Unfortunately, there are instances where you have warned an employee once, twice, or three times, and you can generally see whether a per employee is trying to correct his behavior or not. Consider consequences imposed on other employees in the same similar situations, and the disciplinary guidelines in the policy. Spell out in your process who can discipline. What managers, what supervisors, and the ones that are doing those, that are administering them. Everyone does not administer corrective actions and disciplinary actions. That should be management or supervisors only. And the ones that are in those positions that are administering, make sure they are thoroughly trained. Don't discriminate. Employers have to be careful to avoid disciplinary actions that could be interpreted as discriminatory. Discriminatory actions are those that are taken because of a person's sex, their age, their race, or other protected classes. Make your disciplinary meetings count. These are things that you keep in mind. They're not when you start the disciplinary action, progressive improvement plan, follow through. When you have a progressive discipline policy in place, follow through from the beginning to the end. Make sure you keep written records to show that a complaint was formally filed, presented to an employee. An employee signed the statement acknowledging the complaint, and the employee responded to the complaint. This is when they're before you, when you administer the corrective action, make sure that they sign it. If they refuse to sign it, make sure you note that they refuse to sign it. While you want to keep records of formal disciplinary actions in a personnel file, it is important to keep supervisory notes as well. Those are intended only for the supervisors, and that's to jog his memory. And that should be kept in a separate file, not in the employee's file. In the process, again, make sure your employee knows what is expected of him or her. Adhere to the union employees' wine garden rights. Union employees have the right to, as you know, have a representative present during an interview that could lead to a disciplinary action. And some restrictions apply. If you want those restrictions, email me freebie or April Showers, and I will send those restrictions to you. We are, again, giving away free gifts that all month, and I am just waiting for some of our lucky people to email me freebie or April Showers and get your free gift. You can tweet that freebie or to me at AllForHR, or you can email freebie or April Showers, hashtag April Showers, and you'll get a free gift. And don't forget to visit our virtual home, allforhr.net. That's our virtual home. I'm so excited. I can go on and on about the progressive discipline. I could go on and on and on. The thing that I want to do, though, is make sure that everyone understands and they know that not something to be afraid of. It's not a punishment. Not at all. And it's not punishment. It is for improvement. That is what it is definitely for. And a lot of times you in workplaces, the first verbal warning is really all it takes. But you'll find in instances where overlook, or you don't pay attention to, or not pay attention, but you overlook clear, blatant actions that warrant disciplinary action, and you do that often. If you continue to overlook these kinds of things, they become huge problems in any aspect, in sexual harassment cases, in safety issues. They can really come back and bite you on the buns. We got 3 minutes and 45 seconds left, and we're going to be back on April 21st, yep, at 12 o'clock. We're going to do it all again. In the meantime, I want you to drop me your questions at allforhr at allforhr.net. We also have the Google Hangout the second Tuesday, which is going to be April 12th, and the fourth Tuesday, which is April 26th, and April 28th, 12 o'clock, is our free webinar, and it is The Power of Progressive Discipline. Woohoo! You'll enjoy it. You get some goodies there. You can connect with me many different ways. You can connect with me, Meetup. The Meetup is Fun with HR, parentheses, Human Resources, close parentheses. You can join our group there. And there's also Babes in the Workplace, which is a group that I host also, which is geared toward workplace harassment. Join that group. We have some meetups coming up. We want to see you. And, you know, visit the website. OfferHR.net is where our virtual home is. So visit us there. And, again, send me questions. I'm looking for to give out these freebies. So, again, offerhr.net or on Twitter, offerhr, hashtag April Showers, get you your new, get your free gift. And we want to see you at the free webinar on the 28th. It is the 28th at 12 o'clock. In the meantime, I cannot tell you how excited I am and how much fun I've had. I know you've listened to me. And I'm looking forward to doing it again, bringing you all kinds of HR goodies and HR news. You can visit my website for Changing Laws from the desk of All for HR. Click on there. It's been fun. I look forward to seeing you or talking to you all. Like I said, hit me up at AllForHR. That's my Twitter. Meetup is Fun with HR. Facebook, All for HR Business Solutions. Google, our page is All for HR Business Solutions. It's been fun. I am looking forward to another one. For now, I will talk to you all. I look forward to seeing you on the web. Take care.